Well, good evening. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to National Detroit, a program designed to bring you information from a national perspective, launched from this Detroit site and hosted by none other than poet Michael Vantool and yours truly, Harold Sullivan. We're very happy to bring you the program today. Michael will be giving us a call very shortly as he is out on assignment, if you want to call it that. And we look forward to hearing from him. Of course, there are numerous hot button, hot bed issues, however hot you want to describe them, that are taking place right now. And among them, of course, is the controversy with NFL quarterback Colin Kaepernick, who is a quarterback with the San Francisco 49ers. Another thing that we're looking at, of course, is the presidential race. And, of course, as you know, Mr. Trump is in the process of conducting a reclamation project, or if you will, his campaign team is trying to put together a reclamation project so that Mr. Trump will be able to put forth a better emphasis of what he wants to do should he be elected president of the United States. There are some difficulties that are mounting as a result of some of the things that he'd had to say earlier about the immigrant situation, particularly Mexicans coming into the United States. Some things that he had to say about African Americans, putting them in somewhat of a negative light. Of the last week and a half or so, Mr. Trump and his team have been diligently trying very hard to reclaim or to restate his positioning on those early comments regarding those two ethnic groups, the Latins as well as, or Mexicans in particular, and African Americans. Furthermore, with the Trump campaign, as we launch this particular program from our Detroit headquarters and kind of give it a national emphasis and or spin, Mr. Trump will be coming into Detroit this week. And in so doing, he will be visiting one of the larger mega churches. I hate to say a black mega church, but I guess that's pretty much the only way to put it with respect to a description. I'm sure that there are white members at Great Faith Ministries with Bishop Wayne T. and his lovely wife, Beverly. They will be hosting Mr. Trump at the church come Sunday. Now, my understanding is, and this is kind of late coming down the pike, is that once Mr. Trump comes to the services, he will be enjoying the services. At this point in time, it looks as though he will not be speaking or offering any words, or at least any words that we've been known or been made privy to up to this point. The purpose, of course, is for Mr. Trump to be a guest on the television program that Bishop Wayne T. Jackson hosts through his ministry. So that should be very interesting. I imagine there will be a lot of guests at Great Faith Ministries Church this coming Sunday as we see Mr. Trump come into the city of Detroit. So any moment now, we're looking to hear from Michael, and we look forward to also hopefully having some of your calls. Let me give you the guest number. If you want to give us a call, you can reach us at 657, that's the area code, and 383-0565. That's the number. That's the guest call-in number, 657-383-0565. Look forward to hearing from you and talking to you with regard to some of the things, of course, that are going on in the news on National Detroit. I know Michael's going to be coming in here shortly, and he will be sharing some information about our great sponsors, Pashman, Pashman, and Walker, the law firm, and they are really wonderful people and have taken it upon themselves to work with us here on National Detroit to bring this program to you on a weekly basis. We started out our first few programs doing 30 minutes. The outlook for the program was so vast and so great that we decided that we would endeavor to do an entire hour. So in so doing, of course, we want to include you, the listener, as well. And also, too, if you would be so kind as to tell all of your friends and neighbors and relatives and those individuals who count themselves as news junkies, Mike and myself do, to give us a listen every Wednesday live at 6 p.m. We're on between 6 p.m. and 7 p.m. Now, in addition, one of the wonderful things about this medium is Blog Talk. You can access this program during the live production or the live disseminating of this program. You can do that like you're doing right now. Or if you choose to and you want to hear information again, or if you want to send the information via your database to friends and or relatives, you can do that as well. Blog Talk provides us with an opportunity and a medium to stay current, to delve into ideas and issues that are germane and pertinent to those of us who enjoy the news and information that is disseminated. And, you know, back in the day, remember when we were kids and you had to wait until 11 o'clock for the news, or your parents waited until 11 o'clock for the news, and you got 30 minutes of news and that was it? You probably got some news in the morning. Well, right now, the world is under a continuous microscope, if you will. So people continue to hear information being disseminated. People continue to hear the discussion on hot button issues. People continue to hear whatever it is that they want to focus on. If they want to focus on channels that are conservative, they want to focus on channels that are considered to be progressive / liberal. All of those are available. If you are a middle-of-the-road type individual, you can do that as well. We are looking at 6:07, and we're 7 minutes into our program. We want to make sure that each and every one of you have our phone number in case you want to, you know, get in on a new wrinkle here today. And that is 657-383-0565. Urge you to give us a call and say hello. Meanwhile, we are looking for Michael to give us a call here on the live line as he is out and about this evening on assignment. We are the program, once again, National Detroit. My name is Harold Sullivan. And just to give a little bit of a background about myself, longtime media person and broadcaster, worked in numerous capacities and markets. Started here in metropolitan Detroit, went on to work in the Atlanta market. Also spent a great deal of time in Houston, Texas, with the ABC affiliate Directions Radio. I love this medium. I love having an opportunity to interface with audiences and to talk to people about events that are of importance, that are taking shape in the community. Michael, as you know, is a rhythm poet and is very, very, very well received all throughout the Detroit area and also throughout the United States with respect to what he is doing with rhythm poetry and the sharing of news and information through that medium as well. So we take a great deal of pride in, you know, having an opportunity to have a background in this particular medium and an ability to be here before you and use the technology to give you all of the updated information that is available to us. I think I do have a clip. I'm going to share this clip with you. because it is what it does. Bishop Wayne T. Jackson, who is the pastor of the Great Faith Ministries, where Donald Trump will be visiting on this coming Sunday, he has taken the time to describe to us what actually will be taking shape as respect to Donald Trump's visit. So let's see if we can get that up for you. We think we have it queued. Here we go.
Mr. Trump finally decided, I'm going to come to Detroit, and I'm going to come to Impact. I'm going to ask him, first of all, are you a Christian? I'm going to ask, are you a Christian? Because some people, you know, based on what they have heard and what they see, are you a Christian? Do you believe the Bible is the Holy Scriptures? And, you know, then I'm going to ask him, because so many people think that that's what you are. You put it on record, you know. People ask me, is he a racist? Do you believe he's a racist? I don't know. So we given the African American community the opportunity to watch Impact Network when we announced that it's going to take place, and he have his answers there, and they can decide what, you know, what they want to do, the choice they want to make on November 8th.
Other than your congregation, what kind of reaction have you gotten from the greater Detroit community?
Well, it's been mixed. People have been speaking out of emotions because, you know, as well as I do, his candidacy has stirred up a lot of emotions and, you know, people saying, you know, he's a racist and people saying, I don't want to hear him and how would you bring him, you know, into the church? Well, again, he's coming to be interviewed. This is not me standing up saying, oh, this is not a Trump rally. This is be able to have a dialogue and also a policies that's going to be on the record. And so, you know, when you're a leader, you must take the lead. Certainly, some people, they don't. Some people say, yeah, that's a good idea. I'll be glad to make sure that he's put on record with what he's going to do.
Actually be in the city of Detroit this coming Sunday. So we're going to be looking forward to that. I'm sure that people will want to. Also, too, Mr. Trump is going to be visiting Mexico. We want to take a look at what's happening with that, how that's taking shape. I can tell you a few things that are happening there. It's kind of now we said earlier that there are probably what may be perceived as some backpedaling issues that are going on with the Trump campaign right now, particularly as it relates to the Mexican community and the country of Mexico and the African American community. Let's stay on the Wayne T. Jackson and Great Faith Ministries visit by Mr. Trump. We have our good friend Michael Vantool visiting with us, and let me make sure that Michael's turned up here and is on speaker. Good afternoon, Michael. How are you?
Good afternoon, Harold. Thanks so much. I've been listening, and thanks for those kind words, but I really appreciate it. And, I'm out and about today, but I do want to call in and say a few things.
Sure.
First, I want to thank Pasco Tashman and Walker for helping us with National Detroit Weekly. And Pasco Tashman and Walker is a full-service national law firm committed to providing the best possible legal services to meet your specific needs. They represent individuals in Michigan and all across the United States. They're members of the Michigan and American Association of Justice. They have attorneys honored by the County of Wayne, the state of Michigan, for their outstanding record for low-income people and community services. They've also been listed in the Detroit News Super Lawyer section in the field of medical malpractice, and are members of the Million and Multi-Million Advocates Forum. And they've been around for over 40 years, representing people's ages, religions, and ethnic backgrounds. And let me tell you, there's a list of things, and it's not limited to just this list. But I just want to go over a few things that Pasco Tashman and Walker can help you with. personal negligence and malpractice, personal injury, probate and estate planning, labor and employment law, personal matters like real estate, misdemeanors, bankruptcy, drunk driving, family law, business litigation, and civil rights. And here's the number. Let them know you heard it from Harold Sullivan and Michael Van Tool on National Detroit. The number is 248-353-7750. 248-353-7750. Harold, what a day of, there's a lot of stuff going on.
There's a lot of stuff that is happening. I don't know if you heard the clip we just played from.
I heard it.
Yeah. I was a bit surprised. I don't know if you knew this, Michael, but from how this is being couched currently, there won't be any speeches delivered by Mr. Trump on Sunday. However, he is the invited guest for the television program that is hosted by Bishop Jackson.
You know, Donald Trump's new team is coddling him like a baby. They are protecting him so much. And, you know, it's just a matter of time before he steps out of line. But even this whole PR prop going to Mexico this morning, even that is just a photo op opportunity here just to try to do something. And, you know, let me tell you, Donald Trump needed this trip to Mexico. The Mexican president, Peña Nieto, whatever, he needed this prop too. They both needed this.
Mm-hmm.
Hillary Clinton does not need to get involved in this mess right now. They both need each other. Donald Trump needs this more than anything. He's trying to act presidential. I don't even think it was worth filling up the tank of gas to fly down there and come back. What a waste of time and effort. I heard the little speech at the end. It really wasn't much. It really wasn't much at all. And I bet each of them, especially Donald Trump, is going to milk everything he could out of this for his audience, who will believe anything he says.
Well, the Mexican president did say that there will be no building or at their expense, any building of a wall and detain or kind of prevent what they call the intrusion of immigrants coming in or illegal immigrants coming into the United States. So there, Mexico is digging in their heels. President Peña Nieto sounded very firm in that declaration.
Yeah, and when did American presidential candidates start going overseas to campaign? This is a very slippery slope to ride on here. Very dangerous. We can get the candidates can be manipulated. The country can be put in vulnerable situations for candidates to go overseas like this. Donald Trump could be used in a situation like this. There was no good reason for this trip. And what's in it for the president, for President Peña Nieto? Clinton should not go either. Don't even fall into this trap. Don't even fall into it. Let these guys wallow in the pit that they're playing in and leave them alone. But it was totally unnecessary. Now the next thing is, what is he going to say tonight? How much is he going to change up his immigration policy tonight? All it is just, this is to soften up his base,
mm-hmm.
to be prepared for what he's going to say tonight. Now, no telling what he's going to say now, because if he pulled this stunt to fly down to Mexico and back, you know that he's setting up his base and preparing them for his new immigration policy, which will be a complete flip-flop of what it was before and probably very similar to, guess who, Barack Obama's immigration policy.
Let me jump in, because this is an outtake. I don't believe it is an outtake from the actual speech, but it says here that Trump says, we didn't discuss payment of the wall. So it sounds like it may be something derived from that meeting. It's about 35 seconds. Real short. You got that time, Mike?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'll start. Nothing like an easy question. We did discuss the wall. We didn't Labor Day. This was a very preliminary meeting. I think it was very well on our way. Things are wrong, but we have to say what's happening. There is crime, as you know. There's a lot of crime, and there's a lot of problems. But I think together we'll solve those problems. I really believe that the president and I will solve those problems. We will get them solved.
Okay. And I don't know if this. First of all, you were talking about candidates going to Mexico. What type of what would be the takeaway? This is like, of course, not represent the United States, but in terms of going to Mexico, forging allegiances, if you will, with Vladimir Putin. I don't know what type of footing this actually puts Donald Trump on. Is it a plus for him? Is it a minus? Had that been Hillary Clinton who was kowtowing and shoring up
because this decision to go over to Mexico during a campaign, this drags the campaign outside of the United States. Now, what if the United States, the State Department, and the White House had nothing to do with this trip, nothing at all.
Right.
And I think in the future there's got to be some rules to say that if the candidate. At this point in the game, are all of them country to make promises to get photo ops? This is not a clean campaign here, and it's dirty already. And Donald Trump is dragging it down in the gutter. But the whole thing is really to change up his immigration policy. You know, Rush Limbaugh is taking some heat now. Even Rush said. But never believed seriously in the first place. And Rush never said that this was not something that he took seriously.
I think that's very irresponsible of a person who has the platform to, come down many, many weeks, months later to see what he sounds might disingenuous and very errant as a person who is a leader, if you will, with respect to putting forth right-wing or conservative thought processes. That was not very good to hear that from Mr. Limbaugh.
No, it's not. And it just shows you how the whole race is in shambles. Mm. And one more thing, Colin Kaepernick, mm-hmm. the football player that did not stand the national anthem the other day,
mm-hmm.
I was listening to right-wing radio this week, and they deflected completely left Donald Trump and the waffling and the flip-flopping on immigration and went to protesting Colin Kaepernick's decision to protest the national anthem. And it was a lot of hateful things they said.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing because entire programs more than the day from Donald Trump and the race of Hillary Clinton to they wanted to change the narrative, change the story. They wanted to change the story of the flip-flopping Donald Trump on immigration and change the story this week,
mm-hmm.
because they don't face the nobody knows what he believes in. We don't know what he's going to do from one minute to another. Trust him, and we don't know what the truth is. We cannot put this man in the presidency in January. We cannot.
prompted to what she called Trump's improper during an address to the American Legion convention that was nonetheless once again upstaged by her opponent's unpredictable antics. Let's take a look and listen to this.
Well, I'm going to listen to it.
Okay.
And I just want our listeners to call in and listen to the program. It's 657-383-0565. Give that number to your friends so you can call in and listen to the program. I'm going to hang up and listen because I got to go. Thanks so much for honing it down for me. My special thanks to Pasco Tashman and Walker for sponsoring National Detroit Weekly, and I'll listen. Thanks, Harold. Good talking to you.
Thank you, Mike. We'll talk soon, okay?
Okay.
All righty. Michael Van Tool.
Thoughtfully, and with a clear commitment to our values. People, that they can count on you, that you won't say one thing one day and something totally different the next. And it certainly takes more than trying to make up for a year of insults and insinuation. My home, that is not. Leadership means leading with our values, in pursuance of our interests, in protection of our security. At our best, the United States is the global force for freedom, justice, and human dignity.
And that was a clip from Hillary Clinton, who so now we have some balance, if you will, as with respect to the positions on both of the candidates who are running for president. Let me do this very quickly. I want to make sure that everyone has a opportunity to take down the number. If you care to give us a call, it is 657-383-0565. Once again, that number is that our guest. The upcoming visit to Detroit. Also, what are your thoughts on the Donald Trump campaign team attempting to repackage their candidate? Is it too little too late, or is it something that you think that people are going to sit up and take notice of and get ticket in the voting booth? Now, as you know, this is, we don't like to date the show, but as it turns out, today is the 31st, and tomorrow being September 1st, we're coming up on the Labor Day holiday. Generally speaking, when the candidates come out of the 4th of July and go into the primary season or into the convention season, you look for those candidates selected at that pump is igniting or an invigoration of new interest in the campaign. Luckily enough, those of you who are news junkies, you find this stuff all the time. But for those individuals who pick up things as they unfold when the interest peaks, they don't come to the clarity of what is happening with campaigns well into, well, let's say, into September. Then they start picking up and stating some of the things that are attractive about the candidates. Going into this particular presidential election, I would imagine that by the time that the month of September is done, there probably won't be many undecided voters because of the tact that both of these candidates take, and because of the veracity of insults that Mr. Trump has shared, even in the early stages of the campaign when it was a primary, and you know, of course, developed into a party nod. How is he going to really extract himself from some of those comments about Mexicans being criminal, blacks being lazy? It really intrigues me to find out, you know, how people think about those things. Also, too, one of the things that I really find interesting is the fact that, you know, Trump now is trying to ingratiate himself with so many of the black churches throughout the United States. And I want to find out exactly how is that going to work with respect to the things that he said in the past, and how he is trying to reposition himself as a candidate that is seriously attempting to gain the black vote. That is something that I guess we'll continue to see unfold in the months to come. Being a resident, my plan is, of course, is to be over at Great Faith Ministries this coming Sunday. And I have a feeling that there will be a lot of people coming over there to visit Bishop Wayne T. Walker and Mrs. Beverly Walker this coming Sunday, as Mr. Trump will be the special guest. Also, too, they'll be looking very much forward to seeing the taped television program, or I don't know if it'll be live, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be repeated time and again, and to hear the things that Mr. Trump has to say about what he plans to do for the African-American community. One of the things that, you know, we continue to hear said, here we are into the final phase of the Obama presidency, and I've heard this on numerous occasions spoken by black pundits and people in general, that we failed in 2008 to kind of put it to President or candidate Barack Obama at the time as to what it is we as black people need from the Oval Office. And since we did not press the issue in terms of creating leverage and being a voting bloc, the course of the 8 years, many say, have not been fruitful for African Americans. Now, we look at this, we're going into the new candidacy or the new presidential election, which of course is going to be taking place in November 9th, and on November the 10th we'll be waking up and we'll be discovering who is going to be the president-elect. So here we are, 2 months, about a week prior to election time. What are we doing? When I say we, I mean particularly African-Americans, to create a block and to create some leverage, not only for Mr. Trump, but for Mrs. Hillary Clinton as well. How can we expect to have our interest and our concerns realized going forward into the new presidential administration? There are some things that still need to be addressed. I think that Obamacare may need some reworking going forward. Mr. Trump has already promised that he will abolish Obamacare. So if that's the case, and he does win, we can more than likely begin to see the beginning of the end of that. But what does he plan to put in its stead? Can we expect to see a formative plan that will be affordable and provide the care that individuals need to have? On the other hand, candidate Clinton has indicated that she will keep the Obamacare intact. However, I'm sure that she will rearrange some of the aspects of it so that it is more clear cut. I'll be the first to say that acquiring Obamacare, or the affordable health care, rolling it out was a very difficult task and confusing. So we are able to get my news showing forward so that everyone will be able to have an opportunity to understand what the real options are, particularly as it relates to health care. The United States is becoming increasingly one of the least healthy nations, and that speaks volumes. When you consider a country as vast and as full of resources as we currently have, and for individuals to not have access to affordable health care, and not having had access to affordable health care prior to 2008, and having the difficulties associated with Obamacare during the two-term administration, it um, I, think it does not bode particularly well as it relates to really having access to those opportunities to be taken care of. Another thing is, and if I were candidate Clinton, one of the things that I would like to do, because I won't even ascribe anything to Trump, because Trump says he's going to abolish it. But one of the things that I think needs to be done is to repackage the affordable health care plan and to make it simpler to acquire. And from the standpoint of what I've spoken to people about down through the months, is that the affordable health care plan probably hasn't been as affordable as individuals like for it to be. So that remains to be seen as it relates to what Hillary Clinton's plans are for affordable health care. Also, from the standpoint of creating leverage, one of the situations that we've heard touted from the Obama administration is that the unemployment statistics have been driven down drastically and to the point where they were hovering at about 9% when he took office in 2009, and they are down into the 5th percentile range. That is a good thing. However, there are some extraordinary situations that will belie those numbers to a degree, because of the fact that you are not counting those individuals who, of course, have dropped out of the job hunt, and those individuals who are no longer collecting the unemployment benefits and have just decided that, you know, they're going to do whatever they can in order to make a living for themselves. And they do not show up on the grid, if you will, as it relates to being in the job market. So that's an interesting paradigm right there. And we'd like to see, you know, as it relates to now both of the candidates, both Mr. Trump and Mrs. Clinton, what are their plans to help shore up the numbers in the Latino community and the African-American community. African-American unemployment is very, very close, hovering at about 30%, if not a little bit higher. And that is a number that is woeful. That is a woeful number. So we've got to make sure that the opportunity for individuals to obtain gainful employment, you know, flipping burgers is great for kids, but we've got to be in a position where we're going to be able to employ individuals who have families, who are willing to work, roll up their sleeves and work hard for a living wage. Now, I don't know what your thoughts are as it relates to the efforts that are currently underway for people to earn a $15 wage, a mandatory $15 minimum wage. And I don't know if that will actually take shape or not. Some states have enacted that already. But what happens is, now, for instance, I don't want to say the name of the chain, but they are probably one of the most, they're probably the most popular hamburger chain. All right. You get my idea. So if you want to provide 15-hour wages for individuals in the rank and file to flip hamburgers and you know, dip fries in grease, and the pushback on that is such that you're encouraged to do so. Well, now they have what they call kiosk. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with the kiosk. And if you've been on the interstate, and particularly on the turnpikes, you will find some of the kiosks in the turnpike. So you'll have different types of restaurants or food outlets, and they will offer you an opportunity to present your card, your debit card, your credit card, order your meal like you would do it online. They have a computer there, it has a visual. You can punch in, you know, what your order is, what it is you want, pay for it with your debit credit card, and walk down the line, and your food will be available to you. In that process, there may be two people who are manning that operation. Two people. They're making $15 an hour, but you know, does it ensure that your order is going to be accurate every time? Does it also ensure that you're getting that personal service? And most importantly, how many people are put out of a job as a result of these kiosks? That is an important question. Once again, I'd like to give you our phone number, ladies and gentlemen. That number here, you can call us, is 657-383-0565. Now, you know, you may be in your car. You can't, you know, call us right now. That is understandable, of course. But we do look forward in the coming weeks to spice it up a bit by having people give us a call and sharing their thoughts and their concerns with us here on National Detroit. Once again, my name is Harold Sullivan, and Michael Van Tool joined us a little bit earlier. He's out on assignment right now and is, you know, helping to, you know, put together some really great information for us going into the coming weeks. Another thing, too, and Mike and I both said this, because of the immediacy of what's happening in the world, there very well may be times when we'll decide that, hey, why wait till Wednesday? We can do this right now, you know, with the advent of social media and computers and dashboards on these apparatus. You can share information at any time. And so I look forward to being in the position so that we'll be able to do that with our listeners, make our program as enlightening as possible so that you will be able to have access to information as currently as it is possible. Right now, we are looking at some beautiful weather right here in the Midwest. We're in that stage now where the weather is getting just a tad bit cooler during the evening hours, and there also that little hint of a breeze in the morning when you wake up. So now might be a good time to start thinking about just throwing that jacket in the car. You don't have to wear it right now, of course, but might be a good idea to think about maybe putting that jacket on or having that jacket in the car so that when that breeze comes, when you get off work that, you know, one day, you'll be able to, you know, have that jacket available. You don't have to look around for it. Now, we did talk about the Colin Kaepernick situation a little while ago. I was looking online and there was word. I was looking online here and it was saying that there's a possibility that Mr. Kaepernick may very well be moving from San Francisco. It doesn't say in what capacity. The 49ers are playing tomorrow, I believe it is, in a preseason game, the last of the preseason games. So NFL teams have pretty much determined how their rosters are going to look going into game one of the season and whether or not Colin Kaepernick will continue to be among those who will be playing in a San Francisco uniform remains to be seen. We'll look forward to that. However, there has been some discussion. And, let's see. We got Michael calling us back again. Hey, Michael, how's it going?
Hi, Harold. We got another listener here that wanted to chime in.
Sure. I'd love to hear them.
Here's the gentleman right now. I think his name is Cornell Mathis.
Cornell, good evening, sir. How are you?
Good evening, Mr. Sullivan. How are you, sir?
Better now that we hear your voice.
All right. I understand you are talking about...
Yeah, we went on, but you know, it's an open forum. We were. I'd love to hear what you think about Mr. Trump.
Wow! So are you organic right now?
No. We Cornell. So if you want to take it into that direction, that'll be fine.
Okay. Well, I got to tell you, Trump. I think he's softening his stance. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's turning the corner. His posture, his tone is much more presidential now. I'm actually shocked. I really am.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think he's actually gaining some ground in areas that I'd previously written off for him.
I think this new team has, you know, seen a need to repackage this candidate because, and again, you say the term of being more presidential. One of the things I always looked at, you know, the guy never buttons his jacket. What president doesn't button his jacket? I'm not thinking about that.
I don't think he'll crack over 20%. You know, I don't see that happening in any minority group.
Mm-hmm.
But he's turning the corner.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually sounding presidential.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not sounding so offensive. So yeah, you gotta commend him for that.
Well, my question, Cornell, would be this.
Mm-hmm.
Has the damage that he's done up to this point, is it so that he 2 months and a week, actually, before Election Day, and he's got a lot of ground to cover. I said earlier that, you know, in many cases, people come to the party late as it relates to their support and their understanding of the issues and looking at the candidates. So how much has to bring on energized, invigorated supporters who probably were not aware of the red he spilled ago and up to a year ago. So that remains to be seen.
Here's what you know, and here's the reality is people have very short memories.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people will forget. And I haven't seen the ads. I don't know what, you know, I don't know what Clinton's going to do. I don't know what the Clinton campaign, what kind of ads they're going to run. But a lot of people quickly forget the insults and the tone. And I think he can turn the corner. I don't know. Do I think he's actually going to win over minority or get the majority or even close to the majority or anything over, you know, 15 or 20%?
Mm-hmm.
No, that's
not going to happen.
Never going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Never going to happen. But he sounds like someone who actually cares, who's not a caricature,
mm-hmm.
someone who is serious about his candidacy. Yeah.
Well, you know, a repackaging and a retooling was definitely necessary because, you know, had his candidacy gone down that same pike, he would have most assuredly not even been competitive. How competitive he can be up to this point going forward into the furtherance of this campaign still remains to be seen. You know, Hillary Clinton has to avoid any snafus or any gaffes, you know, during his remaining months in the campaign, of course. Whether or not the endorsements are going to make a significant difference, whether or not the money is going to make a significant, well, money always makes a difference. What am I saying? I know that better than most. money always makes a difference.
That definitely matters. But I got to say, you know, right now, and people are talking about this, he's got to be concerned about being credible with mainstream America,
mm-hmm.
not being a scary boogeyman candidate.
Mm-hmm.
And that is how he's presenting how he has presented over the past, like, week and a half to 2 weeks.
Yeah. I don't know.
Last Wednesday or Thursday, he appeared thoughtful, conscious, and sensitive. I mean, he was the polar opposite of how he's been probably for the past nine months to a year.
Right.
So, It was interesting to see. Now, am I saying he's going to get my vote? No, I'm not saying that.
Mm-hmm.
But what I am saying, or thinking that 20% of the minority vote? No,
mm-hmm.
That's not going to happen.
Are you going to show up Sunday over at Great Faith Ministry to welcome Mr. Trump to Detroit?
No, I don't think I will be present for that, but I do think that he's not embarrassing the supporters he's already secured,
mm-hmm.
and he's not giving anyone any reason to say he's a racist or any of these, you know, throw any of these extreme things at him,
mm-hmm.
that will, yeah. You know, so I think he has, in a way, repackaged himself.
That he has. I'll agree with you there wholeheartedly. and it was necessary for him to do so. I think so from, like you said, posture and appearance. He's done those things. I think his campaign team has made some of the same observations that I've made and that you've made with respect to his presentation and his demeanor in terms of appearing presidential. All of those things are very important. All of those things are very important. You know, it's one thing to, you know, stand there and pummel groups of individuals and your opponent unjustly or without the necessary facts. But in terms of developing some sort of agenda and campaign emphasis or campaign policy that people can look at and say, hey, this is the thing that I'm looking for. I want to see this done in the next president.
Right.
While I have you, I don't know how much time you have, but while I have you, I want to quickly get your thoughts in the Kaepernick situation.
Yeah, well, again, everybody has their right to not stand for the national anthem. I mean, it's not a requirement.
Mm-hmm.
It's your choice. And I think some people are kind of blowing it out of proportion. I really do. Now, here's what I think. Here's a guy who took an issue. I think for a guy who should be concerned about his career in the NFL, longevity of his career, I think it's a risky thing to do.
Okay.
But, you know, NFL career. I think a lot of his money is guaranteed. But yeah, I mean, not standing for the national anthem, that's your choice.
Mm-hmm.
You have a choice. I mean, I want to say he may have even declared himself a Muslim. I think he identifies as a Muslim now. So, you know, that's his choice.
Well, that I was not aware of. However, prior to going on air today, I did have an opportunity to take a look at some of the newest information. And Mr. Kaepernick may or may not be dressing as a San Francisco 49er tomorrow. That remains to be seen. It looks
right.
As though it has come down to, you know, what may very well happen with respect to his being a member of the San Francisco 49ers, or if he will indeed be a member of the NFL.
Yeah, and that doesn't surprise me. I mean, at the end of the day, for owners, it's about butts and seats. These guys have got to make money. They want to sell tickets. And the quarterback is, in many cases, the face of the organization.
Absolutely.
So the quarterback who is too controversial in a political way,
a lot of people.
You dropped off on us there, Cornell. Don't know if you can hear me or not.
Okay. I was just saying it's a turnoff for a lot of people for him to do that in this racially charged politically environment. So it's not surprising. It's not surprising at all.
Well,
I don't think he really cares about the risk at this point.
I think. Yeah, I'm absolutely certain that this whole controversy has really turned the race issue, which was already at a fever pitch, on its end, on its ear, if you will, because of the fact that there are such strong feelings one way or the other, you know, about his stance. You know, as a 62-year-old African-American myself, you know, I would venture to say that there are a lot of things that white America that does not understand about what has happened with African Americans down through the years. I was sharing with my niece a little bit earlier today that I recall a time when a lot of Detroit Tigers fans or a lot of people who lived in Detroit back in the latter 50s and 60s, believe it or not, did not root for the Detroit Tigers. They actually rooted for the Dodgers. And the rationale behind that was the fact that the Dodgers, of course, were the first team to bring a black man, Jackie Robinson, onto the scene as a player in major leagues.
And I remember that.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember. I don't know if your mom and your dad had any affinity to a baseball team or locally or whatever. But I remember there was a time, man, that went off until the 70s when a lot of the people that I encountered, they were like, I don't root for the Tigers. I don't root for the Tigers. And then I heard today there was a radio program and the host read a letter that Jackie Robinson wrote in 1972. And Jackie Robinson indicated that even as a retired baseball player and a man who was born in 1919, living up to 72, and you know his thoughts as to how he could not, in good conscience, stand and salute the United States flag or recite the national anthem or sing the national anthem. So people, you know, when you look at it from the standpoint of what the historical references are, as it relates to Black people and that type of feeling, you know, you kind of see that, but I don't know if people will look at it from a fair perspective and say, well, you know what? I kind of understand now what Kaepernick is talking about or, you know, what those other Blacks or individuals, periodly, because, you know, it's not just Black people who are upholding his thought process, but those people who are supporting him, you know, what makes them tick in that regard with respect to understanding the feelings that are associated with our reluctance to wave that flag. For joining us today. And
I'm breaking up a little here. I don't know if you could hear what I was saying. I can hear a good portion of what you're saying, but you're breaking up a little. But
okay.
Hey, it's always a pleasure talking to you, Harold.
Thanks, Cornell.
And I will give you a call back.
We look forward to it, man. All righty. Okay, our time right now is 6:58, and we are in the final stages of the program for tonight. Want to thank thank Cornell Mathis for joining us. Cornell is a business owner here in southeastern Michigan, owns an insurance, and was one of those individuals who ran in the state representative race here in Belleville back in 2014. Whether or not he's going to make another stab at it remains to be seen. But Cornell is a very, very involved person individually, or I should say politically, as well as an individual business person. My name is Harold Sullivan, and Michael Van Tool is away this week on assignment. Always have a great time coming before you on this medium here known as National Detroit. I would encourage you to, you know, share with all of your friends and news junkie people who enjoy an opportunity to engage one way or the other. You know, sometimes we disagree, but, you know, if we can dialogue, we'll begin to make a much better world. I look forward to seeing you all again next Wednesday here on National Detroit. You want to jot our number down real quick? It is 657-383-0565. Again, National Detroit, 657-383-0565. Harold Sullivan signing off for now. Look forward to seeing you again next Wednesday. And we'll also probably may just do a quick blurb on Trump in Detroit.